Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio and to The Sum of Us. My name is Alisa, and currently it is The Sum of Alisa because I don't know where Liz is. So let me try texting her and see what's going on. See, no messages from her yet, so let's see. Hello. We're on. Oh, here she is. Here she is.
And my name is Liz.
Change of show. It's now The Sum of Us again instead of The Sum of Alisa.
Excuse me, but it's me. Okay. I can't help it if technology is, you know, locking me out.
Oh, it's the technology. I got you. It happens a lot.
It happens all the time.
I know.
I've been trying since 8 months. Okay. Anyway, you're here. Hi. But at least Blog Talk is working.
True.
That's like the worst when we always really want to do a show. I mean, it's
right.
Been over 12 years, people. Internet radio. Like, the word podcast wasn't even invented. Hello. Yeah. And that's really disappointing when you try always so valiantly, you know, to get the show going. And they're like, nope, not today, nope. So
yeah.
I'd rather be a minute late and we're doing a show than
we're trying
and not doing a show at all. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So hard. So we had that last show, Tuesday's show, was quite the adventure. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. So did you think about contacting, like, you know, writing a very brief note, like sort of like the guidance that was coming in?
Yeah. I mean, I know I filed that away because I knew I wasn't going to get around to doing it this week.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't going to happen anytime.
Well, that's good because it's not about when.
Yeah.
It's about you know what to do.
Yeah.
And that there's clarity. So it's not about, so that's great. No. And that's actually, you know, you take your time.
Got nothing but
you know,
time.
But
right.
But I could only imagine, and this is where I'm sure it's sad and frustrating for you. I know how much your niece loves you.
Mm.
And I'm like, what are they saying when she's like, what did she call you, Easy?
Awa. That was, Easy was
Awa.
Jaden and Lily.
Oh, was your, right, your right, your other,
the original.
You know, the original, the OGs.
OGs,
right, for,
yeah.
For you to be auntie, right. The OGs in the auntie pool.
Okay.
Yeah, I can only, like, what are they saying? I know she's asking about you.
Mm.
How could she not?
Lord knows. I have no idea.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to go visit her in jail. I mean, what are they saying? She's on the lam. What are they saying?
Yeah.
She moved to can't. Just these are things that pop through my head.
Yeah,
but,
I think that in a way, because so much was happening around the holidays, that, you know, I'm sure that they were able to, so, you know, and I was traveling and, you know.
Yeah,
they
deflect. Yeah, that's
yeah.
True. That's,
you know,
true.
She doesn't,
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
She doesn't have to, she doesn't normally see me all the time with my, my parents. And so my brother at least has visited my parents, which is good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he's not shut them out too. So I think, you know, that's at least a positive. Not taking a page out of Big Brother's book.
Right. Thank goodness.
So yeah, I think it's, who knows? I mean, she's, you know, when I look, you think of like silver linings in this, she's been able to spend more time with her grandparents, you know, while
oh, that's
while
nice.
She can,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Both sets.
I mean,
so important.
Yeah. I mean, none of them are super young, so.
No, but you'll be in the wings. And also, too, she's four?
Yeah.
So their perception of time is, it's like the, you know, when you're on the other side of the spectrum, like getting ready to, you know, close out, cashing your chips, time no longer serves you.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't exist because it's a human-made construct.
Right.
So, yeah. So for children, it only serves them when adults make it serve them. You know? Yeah.
Right.
Why are you doing this to me? I want to be free. Hala. Right. Yeah. So, yeah. So if this is happening, I think you're right. It's minimal impact because she's so little,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't excuse any of it. What, in my opinion, you know, it seems like massive immaturity and low-key narcissism or high-key. I don't know your brother, but, you know, I'm going to be nice and say low-key narcissism because that's what it is. And, you're handling it with grace. But, yeah, never feel like whenever I'm checking in, like, that there's, like, a deadline and whatever. Like, it's, no, I'm just checking in.
Yeah.
But that's a default setting. That's a default setting. Because we will just by default, by conditioning, default to being, you know, feeling, you know, getting, being a little hard on ourselves or feeling a little bit less than.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to recommend, anytime you, look, unless there's a check, this is like my thing, unless there's a check attached to it, I can pretty much figure out what has to happen. And I'm, you know, as long as there's, you know, there's not a check attached to it, or if I don't do it, I'm going to go to jail or be in trouble. Everything, like, you know, you got to, if you get the jury notice, don't throw it away. You know, do what you got to do.
Right.
If, you know, you got to pay your taxes, file those pleas by the 15th of April. You know, things you're due to, you got to pay you're living someplace where you have to pay rent, please pay your rent on time. You know, you have a vehicle, please pay your parking ticket. So, but all those other things, we really need to step back and be gentle. And I have caught myself moments of impatience with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Moments of irritation with myself, moments of resistance within myself. And I have been on the apology tour with myself. So I have had, I would say often on, but more often on, for about 10 years, and it makes sense because I put the spiritual connection, but I never did that before, where every so often I would notice, like, in my right hip flexor, a little tightness. But I would work through it. And also with all of these energies came in to really get my attention, that I had to do something with this, with these energies. I was just feeling like really dead in my tracks. And I would say for about 16 years now, this is before knowing you guys, I used to say, I don't know why I'm convulsing, I'm shaking, and this and that. And it really wasn't until the last year that I realized I have so much trapped trauma in my body. That's my body trying to process it. I connected it with, it's all connected, but up until very recently, I connected all of that activity that I would just, you know, control and then release it behind closed doors. Even when I was married and stuff, like, I would talk to my ex-husband about it, but I would, it would only be active when I was alone. And sometimes it felt like The Exorcist Part 10, where I'm literally at like almost jumping from a lateral position in the bed. Like sometimes it's and it would come and go, and I would just get used to it, thinking, oh, it's the energy, ha 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 ha, not connecting until very recently. Oh my God, that's just the trauma that I've been carrying for decades. Fortunately, I made the connection. So I'm bringing this up now because in the last couple of months, and I love to walk, you know me, I love to walk. The past couple of months, and I was sort of like in denial about it. Sometimes when I'm walking, I would feel like pain. And I'm like, nope, I'm going to work through it. And I was very hard on myself. Not even talking about it on the air until now. Be very hard on myself. So that's why I was always talking about I stretch every night. Okay, so remember I've been saying that for a while. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons to be very consistent and to keep it in check. Then I'm in this phase now of the involuntary celibacy tour. So now that's a year, right? And again, I'm not connecting anything. And in the last couple of weeks, I have found that with sort of managing it but being hard on myself and being impatient with myself. So we have these default settings. So, you know, you could feel like, oh, I didn't do this. It's on the back burner, whatever. Like how it is with you unconsciously being kind of hard on yourself. I am showing you my, because you and I are always parallel, I'm showing you my parallel with my unconscious impatience and irritation with my body. So a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, you know what, I got to be looking at stuff. And we're always looking at our stuff. This is why one of the reasons why we love to do the show. We're looking at, and I'm like, we got to go. We got to go deep. We got eclipses coming. We got things happening. So fortunately, a couple of weeks ago, I found a acupuncture center that is also a college, and they have an advanced student clinic that I used to go to years and years ago at a different location. But I forgot about it because of COVID, and I used to get remote sessions from my girlfriend that I'm like, this is physical. I need some needles in my body.
Mm.
And I'm so happy. I've only gone twice so far. I'm going to go again next week. And when we were having the intake session, I'm like, this is the issue, but I really know what this is about. And what I said to them, because what's great about Eastern medicine, it's the body-mind connection. I said, I am now embodying fear of moving forward because I have learned so much and I'm not in self-abandonment as much, because I think that's going to be a core issue for this life. I am not active in that because I'm very self-aware. But why it's come to this is, one, I need to address this, and two, psychologically, I feel I need to work through the fear of moving forward, the fear of taking all of this awareness and all this knowledge and how accelerated I've come into my understanding of my core wounds.
Mm.
Now this is it's a fear of moving forward, literally.
Mm.
You know, and I'm a really good patient because I'm so self-aware. And I'm so happy. And in the wake of the two sessions that I had, there was massive improvement. But what was coming to the surface, the fear of moving forward, And thank goodness I could articulate it. And I think so many people aren't aware of the core issues. And I'm thinking about Lois, the issues in the tissues. And I'm like, I really need to go deep with this because I am not going to regress or go into the rabbit hole of disease. I'm not doing it. You know, and looking and embracing the darkest parts of yourself. So then we have the earthquake, then we have the eclipse, then we have all the stuff that's going on. I have my year anniversary of involuntary celibacy. I am turning people down left and right, not even meeting people, not even communicating, not even, so clear. And it would be hit or miss in terms of ambulating, in terms of walking around. So tremendous relief from the acupuncture. I'm sold. And I'm also... they have a thing for facial acupuncture. Hello. I won't do Botox, but I'm gonna put those kind of needles in my face. So I'm gonna start that in May. I'm excited. keep this girl together. I'm excited for that. Holistic approach to, you know, keeping it together. So after having these two sessions, after the first one, the relief was so improved. It took a few days, but physically I could see the improvement, and I was so thankful and the relief. And then I went back, and it was tougher the second week going. It was tougher the second week in the aftermath because I could feel the pain and the tightness shift into other areas, and then I found myself sort of being in this fear. And, you know, I have to go to work, I have to run around and all of that. And I would sort of push through it. But I would notice this fear. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then that fear turned into impatience.
Mm-hmm.
And that impatience turned into irritation. And I didn't like what was coming to the surface. Miraculously, today is Thursday. Miraculously, yesterday morning, I guess I had to go to work, I was meditating, and I'm like, you have to tell your body that everything is okay. And that it's safe, and that you love it. You have to talk to that trauma that's been there since you were a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? You need to, and so we're talking decades and decades and decades of trauma that doesn't feel safe. And I remember when I was having a conversation with the guy that I went to see the screening of Oppenheimer with, one day only, he's a cool guy, but not for me. But when we were having a conversation, you know, and they always like to say, what are you looking for? I have no idea what I'm looking for. I don't know. It's a stupid question. But thematically, I would say, and that was the recent realization before my personal one, because it's external, unconsciously another form of self-abandonment, I would say, I need to feel safe. The last situation I was in, and this is what I said to the acupuncturist, I said exactly a year ago this time, a year ago April, last year, I was in a very unsafe situation where I literally had to walk down a hill to get away from this crazy person, to call an Uber, to block him, call my girlfriend, and I did that all in 4 minutes. So our bodies remember everything. But I still had that disconnect And then I said, I realized yesterday from the meditation, I need to align and have this conversation with my body. So I started to apologize to my body.
This
is going to be continuous.
Sure.
Okay, this isn't one and done. This is going to be for, you know, there's no expiration date. Apologize to my body. Telling myself, reminding myself, I'm safe and everything's okay.
Wow.
And there's still hesitation mentally. When I walk, but the pain is like 85% gone. And as long as when I take that first step and I move through the fear, and it's because I'm so used to the marginalized existence, that's what I know. I don't know what it's like to move on with this awareness, understanding, and self-containment and alignment. I know how to abandon myself. I do that really well. It's an art. This I'm learning to do. So I'm only saying that to you because although I am playing it out in the physical, I feel there's a parallel with you with the mental.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I have not talked about this yet. It has not come up. I only talk about things as they come up.
No, it really makes sense, and I appreciate you sharing your journey because that's, you know, it's ongoing, like you said, and I think for me, like I like seeing the parallels. For you to have so many things happen physically, I think. Well, emotionally and then physically, like with, like you would fall down and, you know, stuff like that. Then
mm-hmm.
making those connections
mm-hmm.
and making those connections. And with me, definitely the mental, because, you know, obviously in my head a lot. But when you were talking and talking about what you're used to and how you don't feel, you know, there are times when you didn't feel safe.
A lot of times,
There are times when I didn't feel safe with both brothers, with either brother. You know, there's at least one incident with my oldest brother, because usually he was the one that would be the peacekeeper. He would be the one to defend me.
He abandoned you, and I didn't know that he was the one to defend you.
I know.
Yeah.
I, as a child, and this is a layer upon layer upon layer.
That's so many layers.
My oldest brother was the one that my mom depended on to take care of. You know, you need to.
Oh wow.
You know, he was the one. He was the one that had to. And I don't think I heard all that. He just did it. He did it because that's what the oldest son does.
Wow.
You know, he's the one that would have to watch the two of us when she would have to go run an errand.
Wow.
And then, he had those responsibilities. I mean, he's only 14 months older than my other brother. So
that was put on him. Wow.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. I didn't know this part of it.
Yeah. So I know that he had to be, he was in that role. And for the most part, you know, he and I would get along fine. My viewpoint was I was fine. And I know that along the way, there were times when he was just checking in on me and kind of, you know, defending me without me even knowing.
Is he protecting you from the brother that you're having an issue with?
Oh, yeah. That was just on the regular because we would all just get on each other's nerves. Yes. But also from my mom because.
Wow, that's so interesting.
I heard about it in, you know, in the aftermath of, you know, not really of him leaving, but just, you know, as we were growing up, my mom would say, oh, I think I was a little bit older. She would say, oh, you know, your brother would think I was pushing you too hard, you know, like with the academics and the usual things that every Filipino mother would want you to do.
Sure.
And so I remember her telling me that, you know, she was so like, can you believe, you know, the nerve of him? Of course, you know, I'm gonna, you know, these are things that are important. So that's just in her sharing that with me. But I remember just taking that in and thinking, wow, if you know, he thought that was a little rough, you know, he would know because he was in my eyes and presented to probably me and to my other brother, my second brother, that, you know, my oldest was the model. And I think that's like the default setting. Well, that's the oldest. He, as long as he's not messing up, that's what you need to do. You need to,
they didn't really see him.
Right. Mm. You need to be perfect like him. And he did. He had like perfect penmanship. He had great grades. Everybody loved him.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. So if he's telling me, or if he was saying, well, maybe aren't you pushing her a little too hard? Then I'm like, dang, you know.
Because you don't know. Because you don't know the difference as a child.
So I was like, wow, that's – so I remember thinking, like, I really appreciated that he knew what it was like.
Yep. Wow. Well, this is good.
Yeah. So –
This is good.
So, you know, you fast forward, I don't know how many decades, but.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So now he is who he is.
And he's removed himself completely.
Yeah, he's sort of always been on, you know, on the fringe. Like, you know, he always, after a while, like after college, and he took a while in college. He was in there for a while, even in college. I think when he was finally on his own, like out of the house, in fact, in a different state, maybe even before then, he was sort of already breaking away and rebelling and doing, you know, figuring things out for himself and seeing if that was true, I guess, or just to have a different experience than what was expected of him as the firstborn and the firstborn son. And a very, you know, and a very intelligent, you know, just everything. He was, gosh, my brother's like, oh, all my friends were like, oh, your brothers are so cute. I'm like, take them. You can have them, you know. So, you know, they were both just really, I think, accepted in their social circles. They were just looked really, really highly upon him. And they had great grades. They were really smart. So they were the ones that I would look at and I'd see kind of behind the scenes like, well, yeah, but you know, they got in trouble too. I mean, they're boys. And here we go with that default. Well, they're boys. They're going to get in trouble.
Boys.
You know, we shouldn't give them a pass on that, but they did make boneheaded decisions and then they, you know, progressed and whatever they do what they do. But, I think I was shielded a lot from whatever my oldest brother was doing, just because of the age difference, and those probably strategic for my parents. Just like, well, she doesn't need to know that. She doesn't need to know that. You know, that's just, you know, we'll just handle that internally, three of us, or you know, the four of us. If my other brother got into the same trouble, I would eventually hear about it. But there were a lot of things I didn't know. There were a lot of things I just didn't pick up on. It just wasn't on my radar, and I wasn't looking for it. And then now that we're adults and having had the chance to, you know, we all lived in the same house for a little bit when we were adults, which was a different vibe because we all just sort of did our own thing. Like, we were not, oh, let's sit down at the table. It wasn't like, you know, who's going to be mom and who's going to cook all the meals. It was like, you do your thing.
Right.
You know, it was like living in an apartment building.
I remember when the three of you were in the house you're in now.
Yeah. So I remember looking at at him and thinking, gosh, you know, he's just in his own little world. And
yeah.
And also, like, he was also incredibly angry. Like, we were all angry. I don't think he could even own that, but he expressed
so
it a lot outwardly
for
things that were a lot in traffic. You know, if someone was being, road rage, and he would respond in kind. And there are times when he's not even driving. I remember once we were at a traffic light. Someone didn't do something. I don't know what was going on. It was at night, and he was a passenger in our car. I don't even know who was driving.
God.
He got out at the traffic light and was like puffing up at the
driver.
Oh my God. We're like,
asked,
dude.
Well, his trauma response is, you know, we have fight or flight. He's fight.
He's definitely fight. And so,
yeah. Wow.
I was like, what? We're like, get in the car, man. You don't, he's like, you don't know what people have.
People could get shot over less than that. That's,
you
and you're,
yeah.
and you're in, and you're in the South. So that's more people got six more guns. And, nope.
Right.
Nope.
So I just, you know, as things are coming up, I'm like, yeah, you know, I saw that with him and thought, wow, like that just didn't, the response seemed over the top for, you know, the situation. Like it's traffic, it's, you know, whatever, but he was, you know, I was like, okay, I don't know. I don't understand what's going on there, but I don't think I made the connection, you know, until a lot later with all of us.
Mm-hmm.
The siblings and our level of anger at what we perceive to be injustice done to us, or however that spread out,
resentment.
Resentment. Mm-hmm. And the only time I feel like he's ever done that puffing up, or just that, there was one time and that was enough for me to be like, I'm angry too, because I didn't deserve it. But also I'm like, let me, sort of like when he was out in the middle of the traffic, you know, like puffing up at somebody, I'm like, that's dangerous. Like I'm not going to engage. So let me,
it's putting everybody at risk. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
so
selfish.
Let me not.
It's another form of narcissism, really.
let me not, go too much in one direction where
off.
Now
yeah.
I'm gonna be poking at him even more and really turn this into something like, okay, let
well,
me calm down for a little bit.
Safe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I remember writing that out. Like that was, again, in an email. I probably have no idea. I probably still have it because I don't throw away anything, but I probably still have it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something that I had expressed. I sent it to him, but I copied like everybody else in my family, like, you know, my mom, and well, my parents and my brother, because I'm like, I don't know what's going on with him.
Mm.
But once the tables are turned, that's a scary situation. And I don't really want to be in the same house with him. You know, it's also middle of the night. So, because I didn't know if I thought, you know, asking him to turn down the TV was going to give a response like that.
Wow. See, that's wow. See,
then,
almost lead to safety. This is wow.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, my middle brother has definitely shown that a couple of, you know, it's like, whoa. Just the response is way, way too big for the situation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that's, you have the mindfulness. He doesn't. They don't. And what a shame. But this is your path to give yourself that forgiveness and compassion, and to tell yourself, you know, you're safe, you're okay. So it's very parallel to what I was just talking about.
And wow. And I think for me, you know, now we talk about numbers and numerology, and for me, you know, my path is a six, and it is about the family and about the community.
Mm.
And there have been times in my life where I'm like looking at my immediate family thinking, you know, there's so much work to do here and there's so much work to do. And I can't do it by myself. I have to have, I would say the conversations, but they're never really in-person conversations. They're just, I have to communicate and it's usually through writing.
Yes, of course.
You know, but, you know, so that there's that, there's that, and there, maybe this is me working out, there's that release of emotions and observations. And done in about the safest place I can do it, because then the reaction isn't immediate. But then again, sometimes you don't get any reaction or any response to it.
Yeah, you know, you're really left on your own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's out there. So there's maybe one time where I wrote a letter to both of my parents, and even though we never talked about it, they did change how they were behaving. Now they were how they were behaving around me, maybe because they're like, "Oh,
they paid
she's
attention."
Watching,
that's
know.
Good, right?
But that's probably the only time of an acknowledgement of what was written. And I think for me, it's like, okay, I just need to let it go, but know that it will have an effect. It might not be the effect that I want, but it will have an effect if it's read. And all that stuff I can't check. I just don't know. I don't have like a timestamp on my letters. That, I guess if I send a text, it was delivered. It was opened, you know, read. But So your things with like abandonment, that's definitely a theme in our family too.
Mm-hmm.
The fight or flight response, ours is usually fight and then flight.
right.
Sucker punch and then run away.
Right.
And all of it still boils down to the need to feel like you belong to something, you feel connected, and then to feel safe.
Right.
And I guess in that connection means like, yeah, not being alone, not being abandoned. And in your primary family, you know, you think, well, they're always going to be here. But then you can't take that for granted either, right?
Nope.
Maybe that's why I have an extended family. Why I have so many relatives.
thank goodness, because that's the default. Thank goodness,
And, you know, thank goodness for my oldest brother, because he's got his cousins. He's got Anna's brother and his wife. You know, he's got people. He's got, you know, he does have that, and I think we all know we have that. We don't always use it. And sometimes when we use it, we think, oh, it's going to come back to bite me in the butt. I think having the trip that I have taken, having the connections that I do have, I'm starting to see that it doesn't have to be this huge burden 24/7 or a burden at all. It could just be like, well, you know, this is somebody asking. And I have it to give, just like it's been done for me, and hopefully no strings attached. Like that's the stuff we're trying to clean up as we move forward. But
right.
And I think with the extended family, I feel more of that flow, without necessarily an ulterior motive. So I'm still working through that, but yeah, for you to talk about what you're feeling in your body, like Lois says, the issues in your tissues.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's very dark. It's very and then I've been very aware, like when I realized, okay, I got to do something about this, and I had the first acupuncture session like 2 weeks ago, the willingness to really do that work, and I knew what I would have to do. So even the last couple of times at night when I would stretch, I would purposely do pigeon toe, because this is like my right hip flexor trauma is often stored in the hips. Mm-hmm. And the amount of shaking and crying that has come out, and I'm like, you're ready, just do it. And there's no external distraction. It's not like, you know, even as recent, I don't know, I think that date was 6 weeks ago. I don't even, it was less than 2 months ago, whenever it was, when I was talking to that guy and just saying, you know, I'm at the point now where it's like, I need to feel safe. That's no longer, that was external. And then when I realized the safety has to come on my own, internally, thank goodness I'm not involved in any dalliances, and I say, not yet. I'm not done. Taking a little pause. That's huge, and I realize there's no more deflection, no more distraction. We will deflect and distract until there's nothing left, and that's where we are. But that's a beautiful thing, because I've never been more ready to cut these ties. So the timing was perfect, because that's what the eclipse was all about.
Right.
And I don't know where I saw this, but and it makes sense. And we were all feeling that energy, but particularly 4 days prior and 4 days after. So the eclipse was Monday, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So this is in that 4 day period post where lots, just huge, huge shifting. So it makes sense that we're having a conversation about these parallel shifts, because it's in the wake of this very, very potent, life-changing, and people think life-changing, oh my God, you know, something's going to come from the sky. No, it's life-changing because in the most subtle ways, so unless you pay attention, you're going to miss it. In the most subtle ways, your perception shifts, and how, and your internal communication is less violent. Because that's the whole thing, you know, violent communication, which my girlfriend who listens to the show in L.A. Shared with me some insight, because that is a thing, you know. It's your communication violent, it's communication nonviolent. There's a whole, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So we want to be in a state of peaceful communication towards ourselves and others. You know, and that's where that saying comes. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything. You know, where it comes to, you know, superficial. Like your brother did not need to go out of the car. And, like, he doesn't know these people. So it's different if it's like these significant connections that you want to honor. But everything else, why are you going to do all that effort? So unless it's an obligation, a commitment, or there's a check attached to it, don't save your energy and take care of yourself.
Right.
You know? But now what's crazy is that, like, I was talking to one of my former students yesterday, but like now, because self-care has become a billion-dollar industry, it started with COVID and now it's out of control. Now there's people feeling like guilty about they're not doing their self-care enough. I'm like, stop. You know, like, I don't have time to like do a facial massage. So meditate for 2 minutes when you wake up and 2 minutes before you go to bed. That's self-care. Stop. Now there's guilt for self-care. It's very intentional.
Well, we have these pendulum swings, right? And it's like, I remember one of my English teachers in high school, she was one of our gifted and talented professors or teachers. Professor. Mm-hmm. She was really cool though. She gave us that visual of, and it had to do with current events, you know, just whatever was going on, whatever we were reading in our class at the time. But she said, there's always this pendulum shift. And you'll see where everyone's talking about, you know, what's happening on this side, and that's gaining traction, and everyone's doing it. And then it goes at some point, you'll notice it might not be a quick swing, but it'll be a gradual swing, and you'll notice it. Now everyone's talking about the exact opposite being important, and that's the thing to do. So here I am, like, you know, 14, 15 years old, going, I'm going to file that one away because I think that's, you know, okay. And
that makes a lot of sense.
And it does make a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense for all of us, because we are living in a world of form, and everything has an opposite. And
that's
it's
right.
not the
everything's
not
a
like,
cycle.
Yeah, it's not like you can say, oh, well, I'm not going to, you can say you're not going to look at it, but it's around you. It's within you.
Absolutely. And that's, and I say this to my students a lot, you know, where I want it now, it's like everything goes in cycles.
Right.
So you know, where you could have great abundance and there could be a little less abundance, but you're still in the flow, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself the last time that, and I had a lot less awareness than I do right now, the last time that I had a physical discomfort was I had an issue with my right shoulder. And acupuncture, it took 9 months, but acupuncture healed it. But it was a process, and I didn't have nearly the self-awareness that I had. And it was because I was, you know, not even aware that I was in this unhappy marriage and being a robot, and I was shouldering too much. Mm. Hello. And now with the right hip, it's like, okay, with all this awareness, there's, you know, I'm so comfortable to live in the abandonment. It's the fear of, like, moving forward with all this awareness. I don't know how to do that with all this clarity. So then, and then being impatient and irritated with myself. No, things go in cycles. And I said, you know what? I'm exceptionally healthy, and things go in cycles. So, of course, it's time to have the experience of physical discomfort and the wisdom to move through that and to get to the other side, you know, or to experience heartache if there's a breakup. Well, okay, I need to experience this because I don't know what it's like as a single person dating and stuff. Okay, so I went through that for 3 days. I moved on. Whatever. But I'm quick. I move through things very quickly, thank goodness. So it's just understanding the ebb and the flow, but it doesn't mean that fear that we're going to lose everything, and to remind ourselves, well, for God's sake, I figured out for this long with a lot less awareness, a lot more recklessness, a lot more recklessness. Even a year ago, imagining myself so much that I'm with a neurodivergent genius and abandoning myself and not realizing from the first date that he was a lunatic. I know, but he's so talented. Right? Abandoning. No. So now I don't know how to do it, how to move forward with all this clarity. So now I'm not doing anything. I'm like blowing people off. So I'll find my way, but I have to be very motivated to find my way, because it has to be with somebody that on the surface appears like they're worth taking the risk, and that's someone that's on an oil rig from Norway that wants to scam me. But again, another form of self-abandonment, because all the flares were there. Now I understand the core, where it's an inside job.
Right.
So that's the difference.
Right.
Yes. So I think this would be a perfect time. We loaded up for you to pull a massage.
Yes. Jen was asking for an eclipse card. So hello to Jen and Marguerite in the chat. Hi.
Hi, girls. Yeah, I know. I felt it. But just to go back to the messages, so when, you know, 16, 17 years ago, when I'm not understanding that my body was reacting to all the trapped trauma, and I was confusing it with all these energies, although it was the portal for the energies to come through. That's where the messages were born.
Mm. Yeah.
As a Twitter account. So that's why I have so many, because I did it for a couple of years, and then I found Source Energy Radio, did my show Channeling in the Closet, with here Anna's show. She and I were like guests on some live thing that we did with Trey. And then his memorial, met her in New York, and then here we are all these years later. But that the messages came from, I got to do something with all of this. So I
right.
would post a tweet every day, and now we have 1,200 of these. And I haven't written a message. It's been years and years and years. But we love this database. It was born from that. And who knows what I'll do with these things, you know, one day. All right, I'm ready when you are.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Okay. This is crazy. The number associated with this message is 117. Hello, right there. And then this is literally everything we're talking about summarized in a message. I got to copy and paste this one for myself.
Mm-hmm.
The miraculous ability to self-heal. Hello. Ability to self-heal is imprinted within every living cell. This is the mind of God waiting for your request to be of service. WTF. And this is our service during the show.
Yeah.
This is one of many service activities that we do, but this is the most consistent act of service that we do, I feel.
Yes.
I'll read it again. The miraculous ability to self-heal is imprinted within every living cell. This is the mind of God waiting for your request to be of service. We all are part of the mind of God. And we are requesting God to be of service as we are reciprocating those acts of service. There's no difference between Source serving us and us serving Source. There's no distinction. The mind of God. I've never read this message before. Of course, I don't remember writing any of them because I'm in a different state of, whatever. So,
wow.
I'm going to send this one to you because I already know you want
please,
it.
Please, please, please.
That's insane. It's exactly what we were talking about.
Yes. And Marguerite says, wow, that's Courtney's angelversary. The numbers.
Oh!
I guess it's 117.
Hello.
117.
Yeah. And Marguerite, who I think about daily, just the existence on a cellular level. You're a champ, but it's tremendous. It's tremendous, and it's a lot. And people forget, but we don't, not on the show. All right, go ahead, Elisa.
117, which I know you were laughing at. Like, haha, of course, 117. No, it does equal
right,
a 9.
Right.
It does equal a 9. And the 9 of the bigger picture of trusting the universe. This one, because it starts with a 1, 1, or you can look at it as an 11, as a master number. It is a self and a higher self. And that relationship, that's where the 2 comes in. That's the relationship. And how it's always an inside job to start with. And then it always goes back to what comes background after experiencing things and then evaluating it again, an inside job, as you continuously grow and expand and improve, as you evaluate, as you integrate things that make sense for you. But the one, yeah, that, so that one is self, one is also the direction you need to take, and it's internal before external. Although even if you do it the other way mm-hmm. around, it comes back around, doesn't matter.
Right.
You'll get it. You won't miss it. And then the seven is the discernment part of it. It's when you take that information and the experiences internally, and even before you take anything in, it goes through a few filters of your choosing and your constriction. Mm-hmm. But then that seven is saying, well, you know, what is important here? What can you actually work with? What's the priority? What's the value? It asks a lot of different questions. And depending on where you are on your path and your level of awareness, it can just be very mundane, like, oh, well, this is clearly valuable, you know, monetarily wise, you know, materially wise. It's, oh, that's what's important. Then when you go a little deeper, you know, how does this information, how does this tidbit work with me? And then how does that affect how I work with other people? So spiritually, then you also take these things into consideration. And it's not even just showing me not even about the time period. It's in all directions and in all time. Like, you don't know what you're doing now, how that affects your ancestors or your descendants, you know, any of those. You don't know. But it's marked for consideration at a later date, whether it's by you in your current form or you in a different form, or some being of you, because we're all one. So that's why, oh, that makes sense to me. You know, you had something happen to you. We live parallel lives right now, but energetically we're getting it. So this is also how we heal, right? When we understand the mm-hmm. connections.
Right.
So yeah. Wow. These are incredible messages.
Crazy.
And
aren't they
conversations.
Though? I'm telling
yeah.
you. Amazing. And then I know we're done with the show, but just, and we'll talk about it more on Tuesday, but I just wanted to ask very, very briefly, how was the psychic fair? Because it happened, right?
It did happen. The day I was there was on a Sunday, so I was only there for one day, but it
okay.
was both Saturday and Sunday. And from all
right.
accounts, on Saturday, it was amazing.
Nice.
Sunday was a little... For me, it's a little slow.
Okay.
But,
all right.
But I knew going in that just being there for a day and on a Sunday, I was just going to have to learn, like be in it, because I'm usually there, but as someone who
right.
gets
behind
stuff
the
done,
scenes,
yeah,
right,
or I'm
yeah,
getting
yeah, yeah.
like, you know, energy work done, or I'll get a
oh,
reading.
Oh, right, right. You're
I'm
a participant.
Not,
right.
Right. So this is a little mm-hmm. different. I had a lot of support from the people around, but I'll be promoting it again next month. I'll be there on a Saturday. So
nice. Yeah, this is good. That was the dress rehearsal. All right, that's great.
Yeah.
Just wanted to check in with
yeah.
you about that.
Thank you.
Fabulous. Okay. No. Yeah. I was just wondering. So if any of you guys need to get a hold of us, you can send an email to loablend@gmail.com. And we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Please let yourself know that you're safe and you're protected on a cellular level. Take great care of yourself. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love
Bye.
You.
Bye-bye.